You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1634. Today's episode finds us joining Horses in the Morning co-hosts Glenn and Lisa, along with their guest, Dr. Santo Nastasso, for a deep dive into hoof abscesses. Today's podcast is brought to you by Sentinel Horse Nutrition. Sentinel Horse Nutrition knows you share a secret language with your horse. With just one look, you know exactly what your horse is feeling. Just like you understand every little nuance about each other, Sentinel's expert nutritionists understand how the nuances of feed form can help your horse live a healthier life. Sentinel's 100% extruded formulas encourage your horse to eat at a healthier pace. These light, airy nuggets help lower the risk of digestive upsets, too, that may lead to serious health concerns, like feed-related choke. Discover the extraordinary nutritional benefits of extruded feed. Visit feedsentinel.com/podcast to learn more or find a retailer near you. That's feedsentinel.com/podcast.
We have Dr. Amy Sananastasio. She is from the Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine, and she specializes in hooves and feet. Well, Dr. Amy, we're so glad you're here because Glenn has a horse with an abscess. I just had a horse that got over an abscess, and this is so timely, I think, for so many people. Thanks for coming on.
Sure. Happy to be here. It's definitely a problem we see a lot of.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And so can you give us a general overview of what an abscess is and why they are so common?
Sure. Yeah. A subsolar abscess would be the proper name for it. And that basically is just a collection of pus and other inflammatory materials that collect underneath the hoof capsule, usually under the sole. And it causes a lot of pain because it's basically this pocket of fluid that appears due to some kind of inflammation or infection. And it's pinched between the coffin bone, which is obviously a very hard bone, and then the hoof capsule, which is also really hard. So as that inflammation and pus kind of collect, it's sort of pressing more and more on the nerves that supply the foot. So it definitely can look very dramatic.
Oh, absolutely. And so what causes this?
There's a couple different potential causes. The most common cause that we usually see in our horses on an everyday basis is just when the bacteria infiltrate through mostly the white line in the bottom of the foot. So the white line is kind of the weak point. The hoof wall itself is pretty uniform and there's no gaps if it's healthy. And the sole, same thing. It's pretty uniform, no gaps. But then where the junction of the two go, and you can kind of see this on the bottom of the foot, especially when it's nice and clean, there's kind of interdigitating areas that expand and contract with moisture levels and heat. And those areas, when they contract, they can allow dirt and debris and bacteria to migrate up under the hoof capsule next to the dermis, which is where all the blood supply and nerves come from the foot. And that's where we start getting the body to respond and dump inflammatory materials and white blood cells and make the pus in response to the dirt and debris migrating up there. So we tend to see a lot of them
painful.
Now with, what's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. I was just saying, it's so painful.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Cause it's, if you ever had a blood blister underneath your fingernail, it's a similar experience, I think.
Oh, that's a good analogy. So I have a therapeutic riding center in Tennessee. And so it's wet and then it's dry and then mm-hmm. it's wet and it's dry and our horses are barefoot. And mm-hmm. we have one horse in particular. He's a Belgian Thoroughbred Shire cross and he has a Belgian Shire body on Thoroughbred feet.
Oh, geez. And, yep.
Yeah. And so,
couldn't get the Belgian feet, could he?
Yeah. So he's got these really shelly Thoroughbred-y feet and this huge, 1,600 pound body. And so we're constantly battling abscesses with him. And so, I'm assuming then, the dirt and the debris and when it's wet, the gravel gets in mm-hmm. up under that white line and
exactly.
There we go again.
So let me ask you that. Well, she said that we had a percheron that had terrible, like chronic abscess. It was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. We battled with that for 6 months. And then all the old farmers up in Pennsylvania would say, yeah, draft horses get more abscesses. Is that true?
It does seem to be true in some respects, but it's probably, a result of their their hoof conformation, really. So they tend to have, because their body's so big and their feet, even when they do have normal size draft feet and not little thoroughbred feet, they do tend to get a flat sole. Their white line stretches, partly just a matter of all the body weight on it. And that when the white line stretches, that does make them more predisposed. And some of the drafts, horses in general, but especially heavy breeds, their hoof wall will start to crack with the forces on them. And then that mm-hmm. provides another entry point for bacteria, which will seed the infection for the abscess.
I know my wife ended up doing something drastic. I mean, it was drastic. I forget what we soaked his foot in, but it was something you wouldn't go soak your foot in. And it was our farrier that said, look, you got nothing to lose at this point. You know, let's right, just get rid right, of it. Right. It wasn't bleach. It was something else. But it worked. And, and yeah. he ended up being a good horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we soak sometimes in Epsom salts and iodine. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
There's a couple different lines of thought. I would say that's probably the most common treatment to get abscesses to rupture. The Epsom salts is an osmotic solution, so it's basically meant to pull fluid. And I think that can be helpful in some cases because as it pulls fluid from the hoof wall, it actually dries out the hoof wall, which in one respect can make the hoof harder, which is not necessarily what we want to get an abscess to rupture, but it can also kind of shrink the tissues a little bit. And if there is a small tract, sometimes that tract will get slightly bigger, which makes it easier to identify and then potentially drain or maybe produce a tract for an easy exit for the pus to drain, because that's really the definitive treatment for an abscess is to get it to drain. But it also can make the hoof wall and the sole harder, which can make it harder for that abscess to find a way out. What I'm using now to soak my feet in is an isotonic solution. So basically it's about seven cc's of salt in about a liter of fluids and put the foot in that. And that's actually helps me soften the foot up more in order to get that abscess to drain.
So do horses always go lame when they have an abscess? I mean, what are the early signs that your horse might be getting an abscess?
When they look like they're going to die and fall over, that's an abscess.
Yeah. And they're walking on three legs, and
it's funny because it's always like, well, does my horse have a fractured leg or does it have a foot abscess and it'll be fine? So it is kind of sometimes scary. Some of them will just present with acute onset, really bad, my foot's going to fall off lameness. Some of them will just be a little bit off initially, and then they'll get more lame as time goes on. I don't know. I have seen horses that have signs of an abscess that have ruptured that don't have a history of lameness. So I think it's probably possible for them to not show lameness if it's a small abscess or if they're particularly stoic. But most of them do, we see them for lameness for sure.
We have this horse that's it's a gated horse and it's about 4 years old. And that's the one that popped the abscess here yesterday. And we had no sign, until it popped. So, I think it was in just a place that maybe it wasn't painful.
Yeah. Yep. And if the horse, if the horse is on ground that's not going to put pressure on, so if they have a really nice cup to the bottom of their foot and a really good hoof wall, they may not be getting, and the ground is kind of hard, so they're not
sinking. We're sandy in Florida, so
And so maybe that's forgiving enough that they're not going to show the lameness signs. So I don't think they always do go lame, like they're going to die in that respect.
I've heard conflicting reports about whether bruises can become as abscesses. Yes, no.
I think they can. Yeah, no, because all bruising is a buildup of blood, usually, or other body fluids underneath the hoof capsule. And if you get that's basically blood is a really good bacterial medium to grow. If you're in the lab and you want to grow bacteria for your study, you can use blood, and that's great. They want to eat that like crazy. So if you get a bruise under the sole and then you get a seeded and the bacteria that migrate up into that area, that could definitely turn into an abscess. I don't think they all do, but it is possible for sure.
So I have a friend who has, again, a draft cross. She's got a mare who's a thoroughbred quarter horse Belgian cross. So whenever she gets an abscess, it takes forever. It just seems like it's forever for this abscess to come out. What's the average recovery time?
Well, it really depends. When I see them, I usually try and open them to get drainage from the bottom of the foot. And so as soon as you get drainage, you have to make sure all the infection clears out, which usually takes a few days. And then we basically have to wait for that tract to epithelialize so we don't reinfect that area. So I'd say when I establish drainage from the bottom of the foot, probably 7 to 10 days for complete resolution, where I feel really good about it. Sometimes when they're longer, when we don't establish drainage from the bottom, they can linger for a really long time. And the problem with that is that the infection wants to find the way out of least resistance. And so that's when you get most, you know, a lot of them will pop at the coronary band, and it takes a long time because they have to basically go from the bottom of the foot all the way up the hoof wall to the coronary band. And that's a little bit less ideal because as it migrates up the hoof wall to the coronary band, it's disrupting all that tissue and the connection of the hoof wall to the rest of the foot. So, you know, that can take a long time, and it could, you know, cause a lot of pain in the meantime. The other thing that's possible, I would say it's unlikely, but it can happen, is that infection will try and go deeper, and then you'll get infection of some of the deeper tissues like the dermis or sometimes even the coffin bone. And I actually have a case right now that I'm dealing with where it sounds like that may have been what happened. He had an abscess that was lingering and wasn't getting really good drainage, and now it seems like we have an infection of the coffin bone. So that's very uncommon. It's very rare, but that's why I do like to try and establish drainage from the bottom of the foot.
Oh, yeah. And I know I've had some horses with abscesses that have kind of popped out the back of the hoof, kind of more on the heel.
Like the heel bones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Those usually probably start in the heel or in the bar region on the bottom of the foot, and then they migrate up. And because that's that distance from the heel to the heel bulb is a lot smaller, those usually resolve a little bit quicker.
That's good. That's good.
She's happy to hear that.
Yeah. So I think all of us, you know, how do we prevent all of this? Because it's so invasive and it's so painful. And you look at your poor horse who's just, you know, just in such pain. How do we prevent this?
So there's some things we can do and some things we can't do. I mean, you know, like we mentioned before, the weather itself can really predispose these guys to foot abscesses. So we can't really do anything about the weather, but keeping them in an environment where you're not going through the hard ground and then the mud, you know, that could help. So if the times of the year when we do have bad weather, keeping them in a clean, dry area can help prevent it. Sometimes horseshoes can protect the white line. So in some cases that can be, if you have a horse that is prone to abscesses, sometimes putting them in horseshoes can provide a little extra protection from the ground and the dirt and debris. You know, I have some horses that have recurrent abscesses and they have to live in shoes and pads to protect their white line and to protect the foot from invasion of the bacteria that caused the abscesses. But I think, you know, the main thing you can do is have regular farrier care. Make sure that your horses are on a cycle that's right for them so that they're not growing too long, letting the foot, you know, start flaring out, stretching the white line, cracking, things like that. That's probably the most intervention we can have to prevent abscesses from forming.
So my wife was listening and texted me. So what we used for this Percheron was a 50-50 bleach and water mixture.
Okay.
Soaked that. And then she packed it with hydrated lime.
Oh, okay.
That was the weird part. So, and then we got that from the farrier who was like, well, you know, we need to dry out this foot because basically all kinds of tunnels through the foot. And
sure.
Almost canker-like, I guess. And we do not recommend you do this, by the way, but that's what solved that problem. It dried the foot out enough, I guess it solved the problem.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I imagine that probably kills bacteria.
kills everything.
It probably also is a bit, just in case anyone else is thinking about trying it.
Yeah, don't.
It's don't. Yeah, I would not recommend
it.
No,
we knew that it was put the horse down or fix this problem. Right, it was the last resort.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you have to go to the extremes, but
let's not use lime on the feet. I don't recommend it.
Especially because the abscess is, when you have a subsolar abscess, it means that the sensitive tissues and the dermis is exposed to the environment somehow. And so, you know, sometimes putting materials that are in there that are going to kill bacteria will also scald the tissues, which can be,
I got to tell Dr. Amy this because you're so much fun. So I'm a horse husband and I've always been a horse husband, and my wife's horse had a cut and she was gone for a show and I had to take care of the horse with the cut. And she just told me, you know, you put this stuff on that's on the certain bottle on the shelf. Well, what she didn't tell me, there were two bottles. And
oh, no.
And she had repackaged them so they weren't labeled.
Oh, right.
And I ended up putting formaldehyde on the cut, which,
by
the way, worked very well. It also, I don't recommend it, and I got in big trouble, but the cut healed, so.
That's good. I'm glad it healed.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, again, a treatment I probably wouldn't recommend in most circumstances.
Yeah. That's why we do this show. It's everything you shouldn't do. is
what we do. That's funny. That's
Speaking of things you shouldn't do, Dr. Amy, I think, are you involved in a research project involving abscesses? So maybe we could talk about some things we should do.
Sure. I'm actually really excited about this project. It's actually, we're looking at a way to help diagnose and localize abscesses because, like I said, I think the main way to treat an abscess is to establish drainage, and the preferred way is to establish drainage from the bottom of the foot, but it's not always easy to see where that tract is, even, mm-hmm. When your veterinarian's out there and looking at the foot. And so we did a project here where we did what's called a venogram. And the venogram is actually where we take a radiograph and we put contrast in the blood vessels. And that gives us a picture of the blood supply to the hoof. And because we know that abscesses cause this pocket of pus and compression of the tissues, we kind of hypothesize that the abscess would cause a defect in the filling of the contrast. So in that area, the blood supply would be compromised, and we could see that with the venogram. And that's actually proven to be true. We do see a characteristic change on the venogram, and that can help veterinarians prove that there is a subsolar abscess, because this change is classic for the abscesses and not for other problems in the foot, but also help them have a target area in mind when they go to try and drain it. So it's a really cool process for diagnosis. So
wow, we've come a long way since the little pinchers, haven't we?
Oh my goodness.
You know what? But we still use that. That's probably still the first line to come in, using our hoof testers to try and localize the abscess to figure out where to go to drain it. So is this
something you can do in the field, or do you have to bring your horse in? Oh, wow.
No, that's something most veterinarians can do it. All you really need is the contrast material, which is, not every veterinarian has that on the truck, but if this is something that they want to start doing, it is useful for other conditions as well. So it's not this isn't the only application, but it's easy to carry on your truck. And most veterinarians nowadays have a radiograph machine. So once they learn the technique, it's really pretty easy. And so, yeah, it's definitely something we've done in the field, and other veterinarians can learn to do in the field too.
And you're finishing your paper now, so that'll come out, get posted. You'll be at AAP, and then everybody will be doing it.
And then everybody will be doing it. I have been talking to other veterinarians about it, and I do think some people are finding it helpful on these hard to, because when you have an abscess, it could be really bad things. That degree of lameness can be a really bad thing. And so sometimes it's really, nerve wracking to wait to see if the abscess.
No, all the time it's nerve wracking.
Yes, always.
So if we have a way to help people make that diagnosis and feel confident about it, I think that people will be excited about that. I am. I hope other people are too.
They should be.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Dr. Amy, we've been doing this, as I said, for 15 years every Wednesday, and every Wednesday I ask the same question: why do we have horses? All they do is try and kill themselves. That's all they do.
It's true. They really. Sometimes they seem like that's what they're just out to cause problems and stress and
for their owners.
It's true. It seems like it.
So you're at what college are you at?
I'm at Virginia Tech.
Okay. And if people are going to find you, where do they look?
So I work at the Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine. And so you can go to their website, and I work in their equine field service department. And so all my contact information is there.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.